Hello, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Jesse Duplantis.
And I'm Kathy Duplantis.
This is a very unique time.
Yes.
On January the 4th, 2026, I will be preaching 50 years.
Yes. So we thought we'd celebrate.
No,
so
give me a hand clap.
Okay. Me?
Hey, we got an audience.
Yeah, we have people here in the studio with us, and we have a cake as well.
Yeah, it's that's a 50 on there. That's a big cake. Praise God.
Looks good.
It, does it have any calories in that, Chrissy?
Of course.
No, no. Chrissy just lied like a dog. It's a lot of calories. Praise the Lord.
50 years.
I am so excited. I would have never thought, I would have thought Jesus had come by now, you know. I got to start working more so I can get him off that throne and get him over here. Praise the Lord. God is so good and gracious. I want to thank all our partners and friends for 50 years. You have blessed this ministry with your faithful financial support, with your prayers. It could not have happened without you. And that's amazing to me. And let me tell you how I went. Mark 16, he said, go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Mm-hmm. We are endeavoring to do that. There's about 8 billion people on this planet. We're going to get to them, Kathy.
That's right. And we've been going at it hard and strong for 50 years. Think about that.
Ooh, that's something.
And so today on our program, we thought we'd just travel back in time and just reminisce and think about all the great things God has done. And also, we're going to probably talk like we always do, what God is doing and what He will do.
Amen.
Because this is, we always go in three dimensions.
Oh, yeah. We believe in the past, the present, and the future.
Yes.
Well, I want to start off by this. In 1976, I preached my first message in a little town called Houma, Louisiana. That is Kathy's hometown where she was born. I was born in Algiers, West Bank of New Orleans.
Yeah, and you came when you were,
about 14, I think,
when
my father got transferred. And I'll never forget, I was put into the ministry because on a Sunday morning, we had just finished the service, it was about 11:30, quarter to 12, right there at Terrebonne Full Gospel Temple. I'll never forget, the pastor got up and said, we have a guest speaker. And I thought, remember, we used to like the guest speaker.
Oh, yeah, we looked at it.
Yeah,
we
take them
out
the lunch.
We were always so faithful to church.
Oh,
we loved
church.
Faithful,
man.
After we got born again.
We're still faithful to church.
Of course.
We believe in church. And he said, we got a very special guest speaker today. And I look at it and say, oh, man, this is great. It's going to be a blessing.
I wonder who it is.
He said, Jesse Duplantis will be preaching tonight. And I almost said, hell no. Wait. Now, that's not cussing in Louisiana. That's a location. I thought, you got to be kidding me, man. No, man. I was just waiting for him to say amen. I said, Brother Rayford, he said, I told you you were called to preach. And he said, and you wasn't stepping, so I stepped for you. I had sweat running down the back of my legs. That's the only time that church that night was completely jam-packed. Now, it wasn't a big place, but it was completely jam-packed. Plus, people were standing leaning up against the walls.
They wanted to come and see
this. Come to see this great sight. I'll never forget it. And that was January the 4th.
But he told you you would do it, and you didn't turn him down, though.
No, I didn't. It's hard to turn
the pastor. Because Jesse can't say no to anybody except me. That's what the deal is.
Because I'm not married to them. You see, that's the deal. I take correction very well, except from Kathy. You know, those kind of things. But, I mean, you know, the Lord told me to hearken unto thy wife. Like, you know, God told Abraham to hearken to Sarah. And I said, Lord, you've never been married. You got to understand these things. You know?
But that day was so special. I remember when you preached, and I was there, and you were so upset because everybody was laughing while you were preaching. You said, it's a serious subject. Why are they laughing?
Yeah. See, I didn't have any humor whatsoever in my life. I mean, I told a joke once in a while, ladies and gentlemen, don't misunderstand. But I mean, no, none of that. And God gave me that gift of joy, that gift of humor. But in the midst of that humor is a point. And old Robert used to tell me, you got me laughing, but you cutting my guts out at the same time. I'd go back home and say, wait a minute, you remember what that guy said? You know what I'm saying?
Do you remember your sermon? I don't remember the title, but I remember the subject.
I preached on Lazarus coming out that tomb, and they were all wrapped up, and a bunch of Christian
people
were wrapped up like a mummy.
You were imitating a mummy. Yeah. It was hilarious.
And as they were pulling the thing, it kind of stick. But it got the point over that how much junk is in Christians' lives.
And you really focused on the portion where Jesus told them, loose him and let him go.
Yeah, so true.
They were pulling those rags off.
And that day is when I began to walk my life of faith. Mm-hmm. Now, you know, I started preaching. And in those days, churches had the worst sound systems you ever seen in your life. Uh-huh. And there was a sound system called Bose, B-O-S-E. They still make them today. And I wanted one so bad, me and you given all our money away. We didn't have that.
So we were believing by faith for that new sound system.
My first year of evangelism, the whole year now, January to December, I made a total of $1,800. That devil was trying to squeeze me out. But thank God for Kathy, who's a little hard worker. We had a little daycare, what you call it.
Yeah.
And so she took care of about 7 or 8 kids, something like that, and to help. 1,800 for the whole year, but I refused to quit. And the Lord said, order your bow system. Oh, Jesus. I mean, and so when I called, they said, well, it'll be there on Thursday. I was hoping it'd be 2 weeks away, you know, but it was Monday.
Yeah, and those days, we didn't have a ministry credit card.
We didn't operate
over credit cards like that. No, we don't. We always pay out our credit cards today, and we still have them for convenience. But I remember that we had to order it and was a COD, I mean, cash on delivery.
Oh, God.
They had a lot of that back in the late 70s.
$2,000. That's been like $2 million. And I said, oh, Jesus, let it be late. This is the beginning.
And
I had brown hair.
We didn't have the money when we ordered it.
No, no.
But we had the conviction of God to go ahead and order it.
Right.
And that was what we acted on a word from God about
that. That's right.
That.
And I never
It wasn't reckless faith.
I said, God, help me.
It was genuine.
They said it would be delivered roughly between 10:30 and 11 o'clock a.m. So watch this. This is Thursday. This is almost, it's 10 o'clock or 10:15. I ain't got a dime. And I was so embarrassed, I had to tell him to turn it, but whatever. And a man drove up in front of my house, a person I knew. He said, the Lord sent me here today. And I'm thinking he wanted prayer or something, you know, whatever, you know. He said, the Lord told me to give you $2,000. I couldn't talk. God touches my heart when I think about that. Whoo, man, that was my first step of faith. I'd got out of the boat and was walking that water. Mm-hmm. He said, listen, I'd like this time with you, but I got to go to work. And I was just sitting there shaking, man. In cash, $2,000 in $100 bills. The guy showed up at about 10:30. He said, now, sir, it's going to be a COD, $2,000. I said, yes, sir. I gave it to him. It was my first act of faith.
Hallelujah. Yes.
And from that day forward, I remember it like it's today. I said, I will obey him. I will listen to him spiritually, physically, and financially. I mean, so I want to kind of give you some of these little stories, and that was not easy. And I had a car, I had to put it on the back seat.
Yeah.
In those days, ladies and gentlemen, I had no one to help me. So when I started preaching, and people wanted me to preach, see? So I have to get there, and I would set up the sound systems, all kind of different things, and then I'd preach, I'd pray, I'd flow in the Holy Ghost, and they'd go home at night, and I asked the pastor if he could keep the church open for me, and I'll lock it for you and put the key where you want me to. And I'd tear it all down, get in the car, and drive all night long to get back all night. You know, of course, I was young. You understand? I was young. I was young. But it was such a honor that God would choose me.
You were still in your 20s.
God, I was 26. 26
those
years
first
old.
Those first few years, I remember that.
Remember how good looking I used to be?
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, you remember that, yeah. I think you're still pretty good looking. Remember how skinny you used to be?
And remember how fat you were?
No, I wasn't fat in them days.
Oh, yes, you started out.
Yes, I was, that's right. You know, let me tell you something. I weighed 139 pounds when I got born again. I came home, but I never was happy. And I'll never forget this. When I went to a church, because the church is a family, and I love this church. And I mean, I ate for a solid year. I mean, because
in
those
days— Not at
the
church, I cooked.
Yeah, you cooked, that's right, yeah.
We had some dinner,
The whole thing was, I'd forget to eat because I was on drugs, booze, you name it. I went from 139 pounds to 222 pounds in 1 year's time. I was a happy camper, man. I was just enjoying
it. You blew up.
I blew up big. Hallelujah. And lately, I've been stabbing myself with a knife so I can blow it out again, you know, those kind of things. But it was the beginning of Jesse the Planter's ministry.
Yeah, I remember those days. And we had the one car, and you would fill it up with that sound system because you would sing. You would sing like 30 minutes, preach 30 minutes, and pray for people.
I did everything.
And you go to these revivals, Sunday through Wednesday revivals.
And how did you go to church?
I went to church during that season because we had the one car on a church bus.
And Kathy didn't miss.
And Jody.
That's right. That's just the way it was.
Because sometimes people would say they would come and pick me up to go to church, and they were late. Yeah. So I found out I could go to the church.
So I just started preaching, and you know, and talk about criticism, because you say I wasn't the average preacher, and what people don't understand, they attack. See, they fear it. See what I'm saying? I just did what the Lord told me to do. And it didn't make no difference. And many times I went and preached, boy, if anybody needed an offering, I needed it, and they would steal the money. They wouldn't give. How many times I'd come home and Kathy say, "Hey, you lost some weight." Well, I hadn't eaten in a week. It was called a forced fast. I had one preacher gave me $10. I couldn't believe it, 10 bucks. But I was going from Sunday to Sunday. And this person said, "And how you going to eat 8 days on $10? She said, "If you go to Popeye's Fried Chicken and you buy a Coke, a Diet Coke or something like that, you'll get a free biscuit." I never said a word.
Yeah.
I did it because it was such an honor to preach the gospel.
Yeah, I remember in those days, because it was a usual thing where people would invite you. They would put you up in maybe the church evangelistic quarters,
yeah,
or someone's,
yeah, no
someone
hotels
in the area, because a lot of these small areas you went to didn't even have a hotel.
I'm going to name names. Bauxite, Arkansas. I went to preach, and I preached a Sunday through Wednesday. It was 28 degrees inside the little
evangelistic quarters, they called it.
And I asked them if I could put the heat on. They said, "Well, we don't want to pay the utility bill." So I preached Sunday through Wednesday, and most of the time I jogged at night to keep warm. I am not lying. I mean, it happened, and I mean, I just kept going. And the devil tried to shut me down. I refused to be shut down. And I remember times I'd be driving, and I'd run out of gas.
Mm-hmm.
Good Lord. I'm going to tell you one that was really amazing. I went to Crossett, Arkansas, and God had honored me. I had enough money. I had to get to Monroe, Louisiana, so I could fly out the next morning.
We were starting to get partners that were helping us.
Well, yeah. I mean, it was one of the, we didn't know what partnership was, didn't know anything. Just preach and do whatever. Pray for people all night if we had to. And I remember it was the coldest. I mean, it was snow and ice. Now, I'm a Southern boy, so I don't know how to drive and that kind of stuff. But I took off, and someone had rented me a rental car, and they said, "You can just drop it off at the Monroe airport." I said, "Okay." And it was about 2 o'clock in the morning, and it was a straight shot. It was a clear morning, I mean, clear night, full moon, but I mean cold, snow, and snow. And as I was going, I hit some black ice, what they call it, which I don't know what it is. It's just so slick. And I went off straight into this ditch, and I was shut down and cold. And I thought, my God, what am I going to do? Now, this road, the stretch I was on, it was a good 2 miles, maybe 3 miles. Straight, you could just see. And I thought, oh, God, I need some help. All of a sudden, I saw some lights, and this guy come riding up in a pickup truck. He said, "Look like you need some help." I said, "Sir, I need some help." He said, "Well, I just happen to have a chain in this old truck. I'm going to pull you out." I said, "Oh, God, thank you." And the weight, I was thinking, I mean, in a deep ditch, you couldn't see me. The car was that far down in the ditch. But God was doing something that I did not realize at that time. And anyway, I mean, cold, I'm talking cold. And so he hooked it, and because there was so much snow on the trees and the limbs had pulled out, the car hit the tree, the limb, but it didn't scratch, it bust the car up. And I thought it would, you know, because it broke the branches, but it was so full of snow, it just popped it. He got me up on the thing, and man, I just didn't know what to do. And I said, "Sir, I just can't thank you enough." He said, "Now, young man," I was a young man, he said, I'm going to tell you something. You listen to me. I want you, you're going to Monroe." How you knew I was going to Monroe?
You know, you didn't think of that at the time.
No, I didn't think of none of this, you know. He said, "Put your first two wheels, always keep it on the snow. Because when the road's going to turn like this, if you're on ice, you're going to slide straight down. I mean, you just can't drive on ice." So I said, "Okay," again, I'm a Southern boy. So I put those two wheels. He said, "I remember to do that, okay?" I said, "Sir, can I pay you?" I had something like $4 or something. He said, "Oh, no, that's what I do. I'm sent to help people." And I thought, still ain't got it. I said, "Sir, thank you." Now, I'm talking, I get in the car. I'm not in the car 30 seconds. It's 2 miles behind me, straight. He can't get off the road. Boom, deep ditch. No shoulder, nothing, man. And he was gone. I looked, he was gone. There's no way he could have, I would have seen him, even if he went in the ditch down low, the lights aglow, something, nothing. And that was an angel of the Lord.
I remember you told that story over the years, and Ooh. you put it in your book, The Hidden Help. I think it's the first chapter.
Yeah.
Such a beautiful story. I know that wasn't your first encounter with an angel, but that was unforgettable. In those early years of ministry, God was looking out for you. I think I was probably praying for you at the time.
Don't doubt it. And I got to the Monroe Airport, and they had a hotel, so I slept on the floor. there in the Monroe Airport. How I woke up was people began to come into the thing at about 6 o'clock and everything. And it was a miracle of God that I could fly home. Mm. But I remember the Lord telling me, I will always take care of you, even if people don't.
Praise God. He did.
Even though I told people to help you.
Yes.
And they would, and buddy, I never had a financial deficit. What do you mean by that? I didn't have no money. Before I'd get home, I might stop to get a glass of water or something like that. And someone said, how you doing, young man? I thought, what do you do? I'm a preacher. And they'd hand me $400. Mm-hmm. Now, $400, like and back in them days, that would be like $4,000.
Yeah, see? Especially that one time where you really needed new tires on the car.
Oh, yeah.
And, you
and my offer was
where...
$35. $35. But I was so excited at $35. And I thought, oh, God, I need a set of tires. And a man came, another person came up to me. There's so many stories I could go on and on.
Yeah.
And he said, boy, them tires look like onions. I said, onions? Because they didn't have no tread on them. Just slick. I said, yes, sir. He said, why don't you just follow me? He said, no, let me follow you because they're going to blow out before we get there. And he bought me a brand new, four new tires, a whole set of tires, and a spare. Because the spare, not only did it look like an onion, it was like a fried onion. Now, boy, you can see the thread, the I don't know, with that stuff in a tire, the white stuff,
yeah,
like thread hanging out of it. But God would honor me. And I'll never forget when the Lord began to bless us. And in 1982, He gave me my first radio broadcast.
Yeah, I remember in those days how God was really moving in the services. Crowds
Ooh,
were coming.
Oh man, it was happening.
And there was this wonderful pastor who we met, who dear friend, Brother Lenny.
Yeah, Mike Lenny.
Mike Lenny,
yeah.
And he's the one who kind of helped you to get started with radio.
Oh yeah.
If you remember, he showed you how to make the tapes because he was on radio on a local station in Lafayette, Louisiana, which we're still on that station, KAJN.
And to make a long,
they have a television station.
Barry,
now.
He just passed away, who owned that station. Wonderful man. It was a 15-minute. I didn't know how I was going to pay for this, but I was stepping out by faith because I remember that Bose system. I said, God, I'm going to do this. And watch, I didn't know R.W. Shambach from nobody. He was on at 8 o'clock at night. I was on at 8:15. And this is what he did. Evidently, he must have heard my program. He said, ladies and gentlemen, we got a little Cajun preacher there that's coming on right after me. And I really like that boy. And that boy's going to do some great things for God. And I want y'all, all of you that love Shambach, I want you to love Jesse the Planters. I've never met him, but I'm going to meet him. But I heard his broadcast. And I want to tell you something. My radio program exploded.
Yeah, people started writing to us. I remember one letter in particular. It was handwritten on the outside, but it must have been a child because it wrote, and you always have been able to connect with all the generations.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And that was so wonderful. And we still get testimonies from people that say, my mama got saved years ago, and then now I'm born again. Anyway,
my grandmother.
Yeah.
Makes me realize how old I am.
Well, hey, that's good. That's a good testimony.
Good. I'm still
but I remember this one envelope. I wish I would have kept it. It said to Jesse the Planet. And so I thought it was hilarious. Jesse the Planet. And that's after you had lost that weight. Remember?
Yeah, I got skinny.
He didn't stay heavy. But of course, it was a radio program, so they couldn't see you. We weren't on TV at that point. And I remember one lady, when she came to one of your meetings, because we would promote our meetings. You would promote the meetings on the radio broadcast that you would tape those.
Mm-hmm.
And she saw you and you said, oh, I thought you was a big black man. You a little bitty white boy.
She drove 150 miles to see me. And she said, you're not Jesse the Planet. I said, yes, ma'am. I thought you was a brother. You're nothing but a little bitty white boy. I said, I'm sorry.
So you're a little bitty at that point because lost that weight. He went on a strict diet and a lot of fasting and all that
all
going
that
on at the
stuff.
Time. But I remember I was taking up your pants in the back suit because you didn't want to buy any more new clothes until you had lost a certain amount of weight.
Well, I didn't have much money to buy no clothes.
The pockets kind of looked like I had one pocket in the back.
Yeah,
but people would introduce you as the remains of Jesse Duplantis.
Yeah, that's right. They introduced me.
I thought it was hilarious. We have so many great memories. I hope you're enjoying this program where we're sharing our thoughts of traveling back in time just to honor the Lord for what He's done for 50 years.
It was always done by faith.
Yeah.
We started out, we had nothing. And I'm not telling you to do what I did. You have to live by your faith. Mm. You see what I'm saying?
Everybody has their own journey.
The year 1987 came.
Yeah.
My God. and I had my first Christian television broadcast. Kathy Hare looked like a poodle. She had her hair, you know, where you curl it all
perms
up.
Perms were very popular back then.
And I used to call her the poodle, so she got mad and she cut it real short. And that was on Christian.
It's funny, they would Christian put thing. It real tight so that it would last, but I'd look really curly and then it'd go straight.
Anyways, well, people began to watch my program. Now, any Christian program I could get on, I had started getting some partners.
Well, you were
1988. I want to get to this television thing. Okay. I hit my first secular television broadcast. Now, this was the miracle. Gloria Copeland's brother is the one that bought my time. And I told him I wanted to go on 20 stations. You remember that?
20 stations.
ABC, CBS, NBC. Uh-huh. Now, I was on PTL in that
time.
Yeah,
we started in TV. In fact, you started just being on someone else's program. Then we had our own program for many years. And then you was on Christian. And then you wanted to launch out into secular. And I remember the magazine cover that I designed for that, because I was like the editor for the magazine. I got a lot of help helping me now. But back in those days, the Lord led me to put the cover, and it was our 20th year of ministry. So I remember, because it said 20 years of ministry.
But I want to interrupt you, because I got to tell this part. Yeah, I know. That was a lot of money. And what was his name? Doug. Doug said, now, it's going to take about 2 years, if you remember, to pay for this, he said. He said, so when do you want to believe God for that? I said, I wanted to be paid in 2 weeks.
Yeah, how long do you, he was saying, how long
that's
were
you
y'all
did the magazine.
For? Yeah, and so how long do y'all want to believe for that, to get recover the money
two
that
weeks.
We were going to invest into that television outreach? And we said 2 weeks.
He said 2 weeks, and he said, you must have been listening to them Copeland tapes. You know? I said, 2 weeks, Doug. First time ever our magazine was late. Kathy had to go. We put
a
big rollout.
The printer had an issue. It wasn't me. I got it out on time. But the cover had like all these little 20 images and it had 20 stations.
Yeah.
20 years of ministry.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, so we were late a week. So nobody knew we were on television for 1 week and we got on. So we had 7 days left to get it all done in 2 weeks. And ladies and gentlemen, 7 days later, I paid cash for the whole year.
Praise God.
Go ahead,
for
give
that.
The Lord a hand clap for that.
Yes.
All done by
Hallelujah.
Faith.
That's right.
Every bit of it, glory to God.
And it's always been that way.
And I said, I kept, always. And I thought, God, help me, Jesus. And then 1991 came. First television studio, cameras. Mm-hmm. I bought John Osteen's old cameras, but I bought them from Al Jando in Alvin, Texas. And they were $20,000. I thought I'd done lost my mind.
So John had them, then Al had them, and then Jesse had them.
And I used them, boy. I mean, it was a
and
blessing.
And then we sold them to somebody else probably later on.
No, I think I gave them to somebody. I'm not quite sure, but maybe whatever. And I just began to have, and I began to have this dream to have a television truck. That was 1994.
Amen.
Now, you got to go from 76 to 94. I call it the starving years. They would steal my offering. I don't know how many times.
Yeah.
I ran out of gas. I had to hitchhike home. But God always sent some person. Mm-hmm. At 3 o'clock in the morning, 2 o'clock in the morning. I remember one time I had to eat. I didn't eat nothing for a week. So it was a 7-Eleven store, and they gave me some popcorn residue from the bottom. Of all times I ran out, most of the time I ran out in front of a gas station. Mm-hmm. God knew what he was doing. And another man drove up and filled my car up, and I'm cutting it, filled my car up. He said, you hadn't eaten? And he told me, hey, man, it touched my heart when I think about it. You go in that store and get you some bread and some bologna and stuff like that. Get as much as you want. Man, I was hungry. I hadn't eaten in a week, you know, because they took the offering. And he said, do it. And anyway, and I went in there, and he filled my car up. Whew. I didn't know what to do, people, other than to live by faith. And I got in that car, and I ate bologna, mustard, and mayonnaise with tears, boy. And I don't cry easy, let me tell you. This is hard for me to do this now. And I was going home.
I love seeing those tears.
Oh, I appreciate that.
I've been waiting a long time for this.
Oh, God.
I always knew that was in there somewhere, deep. It's so real. And, you know, we're reliving this, because like we said, we're traveling back in time. But it's wonderful to look at the different areas and places we've grown through. We started out like we began with that sound system. Now here we are with the truck. All these other things.
And then that truck came in. Oh, God. And then the first week I wanted to do it, the truck, I got shut down on it. Mm-hmm. I won't name the individual. Yeah. It hurt me so bad, but I said, that's all right. He said, Jesse, it'll be fine. And I was able to go broadcast or film my own meetings. See, right. That was 1995. And wow. I'm glad I'm getting back on that because I can get away from that heaviness, man. I mean, the Lord was so good. And I would, ladies and gentlemen, I would save enough money to buy something. And the Lord said, give it away. Mm. Oh, Jesus. I mean, I was about ready to get that. But I didn't know God was always ahead of me.
And you know, over the years, if you remember, we've always, even from when we first got born again, we were always tithers. We were always givers. We would support the church and what they were doing with our serving as well as giving. Yeah. And then whenever God put us in the ministry, we're always faithful to tithe and give.
Constantly.
And help people. Forget about over the years, all the many churches we've helped and built as far as you, when you went to preach.
I remember the payoff churches. I don't know how many I've paid off.
Been
now,
faithful to give, and but we were able to do that because God brought in great partners that helped us to do what He's called us to do.
I want to just say it like this. I didn't preach faith because I met Kenneth Copeland, and I think he's a great man, or Kenneth Hagin. I preached faith because that's how I walked. I didn't know anything. I didn't know any better. I hadn't been to school. Mm-hmm. But eventually I did do the Berean School of the Bible, Sons of God.
You did.
Made straight A's. I did all the Rhema things, and I didn't go to Rhema, but I bought all the book and learning and things of that nature.
Yes.
And I'm still doing this. Yeah. Now that has turned into millions of dollars a month. Mm-hmm. Still believing by faith.
Amen.
I like living by faith. It's such a blessing, and it's amazing. And you know, we only got about an hour, 1 minute and 50 something seconds left. You think we ought to do part two?
I think we're just getting
started.
Two.
Y'all think I should? How about you people watching?
I hope you enjoy this.
So what I'm gonna do is, and when we go off here, next week I'm gonna do part two of it. Okay? So you can, and we're gonna film it. So the shirt won't be on for a whole week. I just thought I'd tell you that. Or Kathy's going, oh, you smell. No.
Smell good.
It smells good. Yes, I feel you good. Mm-hmm. But those were just some of the beginnings of things, mm-hmm. how we started. You know, people always criticize us about the jet and the different things. They don't know where we started off. Oh, you want it? And I said, God, I don't want to leave Kathy home. She would take, Dad, no. I took the only car I had. And one day, same little house, 104 Hellier Street, mm-hmm. 960 square foot. A man drives up, knocks on the door, and gave me a car.
Yeah, it was an older used car, a great car.
Oh, but it was a good
car. Because he didn't want me to be by myself whenever you would travel on the road.
Yeah.
So God took
and
care
so
of us over the years.
She was able to have the car. Have
so
a
I didn't
car.
Have to drive the school, the church bus. I mean, driving the bus.
You could drive and go get groceries and things of that nature. These are just some of the things, ladies and gentlemen. But wonderful partners have been with me all the way.
50 years, as the cake years. Shows.
And we're going to cut this next week.
At some point. Even if it's after the program.
So thank you for watching. I hope you enjoyed this. You'll be blessed. And we'll be back next week. And we're going to tell you some things.
Got more great stories
to share. And we
even got
Kathy's ministry starting. Huh? You know, when she started preaching, all kinds of different things. Jesse and Kathy saying, we love you. Thank you, partners, for being so kind to us. Until next week, this is Jesse and Kathy saying, we love you. And you will never, ever be a day without prayer.
Thank you for watching today. For more information about Jesse Duplantis Ministries, go to jdm.org.